Hello, thank you again to organizers for organizing such a great conference and having me here. Today I will talk about the IT revolution and growth. This is a 5 megabyte hard drive of IBM just a few decades ago. As we know, 5 megabyte hard drives don't exist anymore. However, today we live in an era where millions of those megabytes of information are created and shared daily. The question is, how did this huge transformation affect the economy? In particular, how this increase in connectedness and knowledge diffusion, which comes from the IT revolution, affects the aggregate productivity and sectoral allocation of economic activities in the US? In order to understand what is the role of new ICT technologies on productivity, we should think about different roles that ICT products can play in production. So one role, which I will call here throughout the talk, the direct impact of ICT products, which also has been a main focus of the literature, is more related to the idea that computers, faster computers make you also work faster, right? So, for example, you can think about ICT products as types of investment goods and cost reductions, and their improvements in investment goods are associated with cost reductions in production. Or you can think also about other channels like complementary organizational changes in business organizations and so on and so forth. However, important role of ICT goods and this IT revolution, which has been quite overlooked in the literature, is this role of ICT through knowledge diffusion or flow of ideas in the economy. In this sense, think about goods introduced by the IT revolution like communication and internet. Think about improved the data mining techniques and capabilities to search for new ideas online. So in this paper, I will focus on both direct and indirect impact. However, indirect impact will be the main focus and novelty of this paper. And I will show that it has important implications, not only for productivity growth numbers, but also in terms of who gains and who loses and what is the type of relocation that we observe in the data and how we can explain it. So when we think about this role of the ICT goods in terms of the knowledge diffusion, we can think about two effects that this knowledge diffusion can bring. One is a positive effect, I will call it learning effect, and it comes from the knowledge flowing to you from others. So you learn more through this knowledge diffusion. However, on the other hand, there is also competition effect from the knowledge flowing to potential competitors. Absolutely, absolutely. This is building on the shoulders of the giants here. Absolutely. So the idea here, it is also important to realize that industries are also intrinsically heterogeneous in their technological characteristics. There are industries which, in order to innovate and come up with new improvements in products, they need to learn a lot from other technologies and build on shoulders of giants in different technologies. But there are also industries which are more self-contained and they don't need to learn much from others. So I will try to come up with a measure of this characteristic, which I just explained to you, through the microdata, and I will call it external knowledge dependence. For now, you can think about the industry like electronic test and measurement instruments, which we will show in the data that in order to innovate, they rely on information and ideas from different fields, versus textiles industry, for example, which, they don't innovate much. But in patents, for example, we see that also they don't learn much from other technologies. Then you would expect that this IT revolution would be biased towards sectors, industries which are more externally dependent and would potentially benefit more from this kind of externalities. So in order to study this question, I will proceed in the following three steps. So On the empirical side, I will try to put a discipline on what I call this knowledge diffusion and how I related it to ICT. And I will try to also come up with a measure of external knowledge dependence in the microdata using patents and citations. And I will also show you that indeed in the data there is evidence that those industries which are technologically more externally dependent, those are exactly industries that gained most over the last decades. In terms of theory, we'll construct a general equilibrium model of endogenous technical change in the spirit of what you have seen extensively these days. Importantly, there will be firms heterogeneity with respect to knowledge dependence. So firms will be intrinsically different in terms of how they combine knowledge from different fields. And in this theory, we will, of course, introduce the IT revolution, and it will govern the accessibility to knowledge, and it will also affect the competition channel. In terms of the results, I think I will get to them, but let me summarize them. If we, numbers are quite substantial. If we look at the evolution of the US economy from 70s to 2000s, and look at the sectoral relocation, which I was telling you in terms of production and innovation, or which you will see in a couple of slides, almost three quarters, or at least three quarters of that relocation can be explained by this differential channel of ICT affecting different industries differently. And it will also contribute a lot to explaining the growth acceleration from 70s to 2000s. And I will have something to say about the growth decomposition and what is long run and what is the short run effect. And we will also have something to say about the negative competition effects from the IT revolution. Okay, so let me skip this literature. however, we know it contributes to ICT-related literature, which is more empirical one, and a lot on endogenous growth from people who you see in the audience a lot now. All right, so on the empirical side, so very briefly data, I will use a lot data on patents and citations from 70s to 2003, and ICT data will come from BEA. All right, so to say exactly what I'm doing here, let me give you this example of a patent of a compact held video game system. So as the papers, this patent has, we know when it was published, we know when it was filed, by whom. Importantly, we know technology category, or let's say the GEL category for economic papers, where these patents belong to. This particular technology category, there are like more than 400 of them. When we look at the patents, we know that also they cite and cite other patents or prior art on which they are building. And in the literature, it became a tradition to look at these citations as the measures of the knowledge flow. So, for example, if we look at the number of citations that this patent is making, it's about 8 or 9 citations here, and the references to those citations also have their own technology classes. So basically, we know from which technology class patent on builds on which technology class. So using this information on class-to-class citations, I will now build a network between different technologies in order to understand what happens over time in terms of knowledge diffusion. So these trends, which I will show now, will be completely what happens really over time. And then I will try to say something about how ICT affects it. So proxy for knowledge diffusion, we will now keep track of knowledge flows through patent citations. So let's look at the citations input-output matrix before the IT revolution in the beginning of my data sample, 76, 78 years, and in the end of my sample, but also after really the boom of the IT revolution. So on the vertical axis, we have citing technology classes. On the horizontal axis, we have cited technology classes. For visibility, for legibility, I will show you just 37 technology classes. So on each row here represents one particular technology class. For example, this is a nuclear X-ray industry. Then we take patents of nuclear X-ray industry in this period and ask, what are the citations that they are making? And what are the technology classes that they are citing? So this is the heat map representing the dark is this shading. This means that stronger is the citations to this particular technology class. And of course, notice that I rank the technology classes on the horizontal axis such that it's from increasing order to descending. So clearly, nuclear X-ray cites a lot nuclear X-ray industry. Then it cites measuring and testing devices. But there are also other technology classes which it now builds upon. If we look at the same nuclear X-ray industry, for example, we see that it cites relatively less its own patents, but it builds more now on other technologies which were available before but were not used in knowledge production, like organic compounds and biotech. And this is not only specific for this nuclear X-ray industry, but it is across the board. And we see that the knowledge diffusion measured by how much you cite others and what is the composition of technology that you are learning from is shifting rightwards over time. If we look at the finer technology classes, for example, it looks, of course, much more dramatic. It's more than 400 technology classes, so it is a lot of shift in terms of the composition of knowledge that patents are using. So you can think that there can be many different drivers for this pattern over time. What I will be interested in will be the relationship to ICT. So for example, so what we can do is the following. Looking at the panel regressions of these different measures which I showed you on the previous graph, for example, number of external classes cited, so basically how wide is the span of citations at particular time for particular industry, or number of external citations or number of different patterns cited by this technology class. And we'll look at the relationship of this to the ICT intensity of that particular technology class lagged, controlling for year fixed effects and technology class fixed effects, and controlling for patent number of patents issued or number of citations issued, we see that there is a very positive and strong correlation. So we will see exactly how it translates later into the final aggregate numbers, but we see that it strongly correlates. So going back to the index of external knowledge dependence, so as I was saying, intrinsically we have to think that industries are heterogeneous in how they rely on external knowledge. So one way to define this index, my preferred way, but I have a what if slide if you are interested in other alternative specifications. So we can define the external knowledge dependence for a particular class J among 409 classes which are represented continuously from 70s to 2000s based on the latest sample period when potentially there are no frictions in terms of learning different knowledge. So we look at the intrinsic characteristic of industries, and we look basically at the average citations that those patents are making to different classes. And we classify those industries to be more external dependent if they cite many more different technologies. So they recombine basically knowledge from different technologies. So if we look at this distribution here, we see that it's very diverse. So industries here are more external dependent, while industries here are less. If you're interested in some examples for those names, so for example, like measuring and testing molecular biology is more intensive, while others less. All right, so let's look what happens to those industries over time. So we define the index of external knowledge dependence. Well, what we see in the data is that we observe that there has been particular expansion of more external dependent industries over time, both in terms of real activities and innovation activities. So for example, if we split this sample into top and bottom quartile of external knowledge dependence. Okay. So we see that initially from 70s, there is not much of a gap. However, from late 80s, the gap between most and least external dependent industries is increasing a lot. In terms of the real activities, we see that again, around until the late 80s, there has not been much of a dispersion. However, we see that most external dependent industries take off relative to least external dependent industries over time. So, so just a quick summary is that we see some evidence for the increased knowledge diffusion over time, and that is it is at the industry and level very correlated with ICT. And there is a heterogeneity in industries in terms of how they learn knowledge and recombine knowledge from. And indeed, there has been a relocation of economic activities towards more external dependence in industries over time. So what we'll do next is the build a simple model which will have these features where this IT the industries will be heterogeneous in terms of learning, and IT revolution will affect the knowledge accessibility and see what we get. And what are really these aggregate numbers that we can come out. So this will be a model of endogenous technical change with a quality ladder and Schumpeterian creative destruction. New features, as I was saying, will be that R&D will recombine knowledge, external knowledge, with R&D expenditures. Let me just move on. Okay, so there is some standard features which I will go more quickly over. So there is a representative household with the logarithmic utility over consumption good, and consumption will be output will be comprised of unit mass of intermediate products, and these intermediate products are more interesting. What happens there? So intermediate good J in product line J is produced within using a linear technology where Q will be endogenous labor productivity term. So basically, for the next slides, we'll focus on what are incentives of the firms in terms of the improving this Q. Next, it will be affected by this function of direct investment of ICT, and it will go back to the direct effect of ICT, which I was telling you. So basically, how directly faster computers affect output. And finally, it will depend on labor. So in this setup, we will have competing follower able to produce at some basic level of technology Q minus I, and only a leader, as in standard models here, will be able to produce. And because of the limit pricing and this pressure, the price will be equal to the marginal cost of the follower. So in this setup, it will be nice. What will be nice is that because price is profit is equal to price minus marginal cost times output, the profit will be dependent only on the gap between the follower and the leader. So basically, we will need to keep track of this gap only. So we can represent the product line J this way. So for example, there is this Q minus I base technology, and leader owns this technology QI. And how does productivity evolve? If the innovation is successful, law of motion just tells you that innovation, this quality will improve by lambda, where lambda is greater than one. If leader innovates n times upon an existing minus I firm, that means that there will be n equals to 3 improvements here on this example. So QI will be equal to lambda to the power of n, and n will be technology gap. We'll call it a technology gap. So basically, you see that profit depends only on this n, which gives a lot of tractability to this model. This was a scenario under successful innovation, but how innovations are happening. Innovation will be a stochastic outcome from R&D activities. And there will be two types of innovation. Oops, sorry. So one will be vertical innovation. We will denote it by X. It will be own quality improvement, basically what I showed you before. So firm works in its own product line, and it wants to improve its own technologies. It means that technology gap in that product line will improve by one. So what is the incentive of the firm is to improve markups and improve profits. On the other hand, there will be also horizontal innovation, where a firm can come up with some new idea and jump on the other product line of other firms. So extend horizontal would denote it by Z. In this case, the incumbent in that product line is replaced, and then the technology gap becomes one. Okay, so how does R&D technology work here? To conduct R&D, firms need to combine external knowledge with R&D expenditures. And product lines will be heterogeneous in terms of how they combine that knowledge. In particular, product line J will have some external knowledge dependence distribution, and it's denoted by FJ, and we can represent it this way. So consider this economy on a unit circle. So each dot here will represent some particular product line, which has its own intrinsic technology of recombining the knowledge. So this F density will represent basically how firms are learning from different technologies in the vicinity. So this firm will learn from many technologies around it, and it would weight them by this height of this density function. On the other hand, this J will have a small external dependence, and it will not learn much from different technologies. So this delta is a technological parameter specific for a particular product line, for a particular industry, and it does not change over time. However, in this economy, there will be frictions in terms of how far a particular firm can observe knowledge from. So this epsilon, which should depend here on T, will basically limit this area of observability for particular firm I. As a result, in particular point in time, the shaded area will be just the area utilized, potential area which can be useful in terms of knowledge production, but the only one which can be utilized by particular firm I. However, this white area here will not be accessible. So as you can already see, so if epsilon is increasing over time, then the firms that are more external dependent, like the firms characterized by this density function, they will be learning more and benefiting from the knowledge spillovers. However, firms that already have their areas, they achieve the full potential, they will not benefit much from the extended knowledge spillovers. So as you, okay, yes. So it depends a lot on the distribution of, so at the end I will have a triangular distribution. This is how I will parameterize it. And you can think about the different ways to model it, I agree. However, like if you look in the data, you can, I guess, approximate it a little bit as it's a decline. Well, you can try also maybe normal distribution. It may truncate it normal. It may affect marginally.
So the delta, is that constant across firms within an industry?
So each firm, yes, so each product line here, or, in,
line
yes,
product.
But, so in this model, each product line will have one leading firm producing.
Right.
So you will have one basically delta. So if firm ends up here, he has one delta forever. Okay. So how does it enter into formulas? So for a firm of type S, to achieve a Poisson arrival rate of vertical innovation X, it needs to invest resources in terms of final good. So cost of vertical innovation will depend on intensity of innovation that the firm chooses. It will also here depend negatively on the technological advantage markup that the firm has. This importantly, this shaded area basically will help you in terms of the inner. So it is innovation. So higher is the amount of the knowledge accessible to you, more you will be efficient in terms of producing. And I also allow for a different scale parameter, alpha S, to vary to show the intrinsically different productivity sectors. So here already you can see how the learning effect will kick in. ICT will increase the knowledge diffusion epsilon, and I will show later how I will parameterize it. And it will induce positive technological externalities up to the point when epsilon is great, goes to one. However, as I said, unlike these technological externalities, there are also competitive spillovers, which are negative for firms. So as I said, firms also conduct horizontal innovation. This is how I will create a competition in the model. For a firm of type S, to achieve a Poisson arrival rate of horizontal innovation, it will have a very similar production function of our innovation, where again, this epsilon, now with a different elasticity, will help you to come up with new ideas in other product lines. If you come up with a new idea in another product line, you will innovate on a product line in the vicinity of epsilon t at a particular point in time, which makes sense to assume that you can only innovate from on industries from which you can learn. And in this case, the incumbent will be replaced, but I assume that the product line will be sold for a price p. In this situation, this price will internalize the benefits from innovation, but it will help me to get rid of some very complexity if I keep track of many product lines. So as a result of this horizontal innovation rate, each firm in particular industry I, a particular product line I, will face competition from other firms which are in whose vicinity this firm is. So which means that at a particular point in time, each firm in product line J will face an innovation rate, horizontal innovation rate, and creative distraction from other firms. And this is the competition effect in this model. This tau competition will increase with the rise in the knowledge diffusion because other firms will benefit from externalities and do more of horizontal innovation. So let me show you a little bit of a value function in a steady state. So we'll have the finite number of industry types S having the same delta and alpha S. Delta basically means what is the shape of your density function of knowledge distribution, and alpha is your intrinsic efficiency of R&D. And assumption will be that all types will be distributed evenly on the technological circle in any location. This will help basically to get rid of the location J as a state variable. All right, so the state variable for a firm will be N, a technological gap of a firm, and S, the state, basically the characteristic of a knowledge distribution. Too many things that I will not talk about, but let me give you some intuition. So basically, value function will consist of your, so firm gets instantaneous profits from innovating, and higher is technological gap, higher is this profit. At the same time, firm conducts vertical R&D innovation and horizontal R&D. So this is why it is a cost, but if there is a successful innovation with flow rate of X, there is a possibility to jump up with a higher markup. At the same time, if you get horizontal innovation with probability Z, you get additional price from that new acquired product line, or you can completely be replaced. So this creative destruction here reduces basically the value of the firm. So let me just say that things here produce very nice analytical. You can assume that there is technological gap of new industry will be always one, and there is any entrant, free entry, let's say, and you sell to an average. You don't reduce. This is completely replacing it and starts over from one. So the only thing I want to highlight here is this here. So equilibrium aggregate growth rate here will come from two forces. One force is this endogenous force. And what is it? So growth here comes from the innovation of incumbents and also entrants. And so incumbents here basically innovate vertically. They innovate and improve their product lines with probability X. At the same time, this tau, which comes from horizontal expansion of the firms, this is the entry here. So tau will positively affect growth here. And all those innovations give heterogeneous improvement of qualities by lambda. So this is this endogenous term, which will have in it these externalities and these all stories which I was telling you. However, there is this exogenous component, which I do not model. It is another model of third industrial revolution. So this ICT will exogenously increase over time.
Yes. The question I'm interested there is this Gordon debate, you know, we'll talk about later. Gordon, his point, you know, he has this view of the fruit-bearing tree, you know, that the big revolutions were, steam engine.
Absolutely.
And then it went down, and again yesterday, Gilbert was showing.
Yes, yes.
One, the Gordon spirit, unfortunately. The thing is that here, you, with this model, and maybe that's what you would do, you could go against Gordon. I mean, in fact, because you could say, you look only at the second term, and let's concede on the second term, it may be more than compensated by the first one, because in fact, ICT has been much more of a challenge to the technology to produce ideas than any previous revolution.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's the danger, I think the first one who made that point, you know, like, informally, not writing well, was Dale Jorgensen, and maybe I'm wrong. But what you have is that you have the way to quantify that.
Absolutely.
And is that something that you will show
absolutely.
Us?
In a couple of slides, we'll
that,
see
that's
that.
A line of attack against, that's
absolutely.
A line to criticize Gordon.
I think this is the one of the main reasons I was interested in that, because this third industrial revolution is completely different from others in terms of how it affects the way we produce knowledge and how it affects externalities.
So and you can quantify that.
Exactly,
you can
exactly.
That, I think, is a huge selling point. I mean, that's a bomb. I mean, if you can do this, you can
I will, yes, I will try.
That's a hot debate. That's
yes.
What it is.
Okay, we will. I'll try to do it. So no, not retire. Don't. I'm videotaped here. Okay, so quantitative analysis in terms of the how. We'll try now to put discipline on this model through the microdata and quantify the parameters and see really what are the predictions and how it can decompose the effects from ICT on different aspects of economy. Yes, yes, absolutely. So why is it?
In the data, can you sort of go and look at data and see how much of those new citations are of existing roots or of new?
This is absolutely a good point. So in order to avoid this kind of contamination of the results, in the graphs and regressions I was showing you, I was consistently just focusing on industries, which are consistently there from 70s to 2000s. But I agree, so new technologies are coming in, so this is another channel, maybe through product variety even, or like, this is another channel, so this would be a bit of an underestimate then. However, in terms of why exogenous and why endogenous, so it's a bit hard now for me to also have this ICT, IT industry separately and look endogenously at their the expansion. However, this model has, I think, an intuitive way to do it, because more IT intensive industries, or those which produce IT, those tend to be indeed more external dependent. So there is kind of self-fulfilling this cycle. So you have these ICT technologies, then you learn more because you're more external dependent industries, then you produce more ICT and so on and so forth. So it can endogenously potentially generate the IT revolution as well. But here I abstract from that. Okay, so going to the quantitative analysis. So we will estimate the technological parameter delta, and as I was telling Felipe, I will here take the triangle knowledge dependent distribution. We could, take some others. And I will focus only as four type of industries. So there are, in the model, there are infinite number of firms, but they belong to four types of firms in terms of knowledge dependence. And we'll parameterize it in two stages. One parameter will come from outside of the model, and others will match the moments. I will calibrate the model, initializing the model at the beginning of the my sample period, before the IT revolution. Then I will try to externally estimate the diffusion parameter epsilon t. I want to identify only the part which comes from ICT, and I will feed in that exogenous parameter into the model, which has been calibrated in the beginning, and see what it produces over time. All right, so in terms of the delta parameter, you can see that there is a one-to-one map between the model and this index which I showed you before. So if you look at this distribution, I just take the different quartiles of this distribution to give me average deltas. So basically span of knowledge from firms from which firms are learning from. So this is how I will estimate the parameter for the direct effect of ICT. So it will be estimated in a reduced form of exogenous from the model. So recall the production function, which depends on Q, F, and F of function of ICT and labor. And we'll assume this function for ICT. So we basically want to estimate this elasticity. We can translate this equation into the regression which of the labor productivity across industries over time as a function of ICT growth in that particular industry, and then I will proxy for Q as much as possible with citations-weighted patterns and other controls like investment in capital and time controls and so on and so forth. So the elasticity is 0.02, and it's not crazy if we relate to the elasticities from the literature, which estimate exactly this kind of regression, but with firm-level data sets from Brynjolfsson and Heat. It is quite in the range of it. So next, we will look. We'll try to match some moments, and important moments will be growth in the beginning of the sample period and average horizontal innovation rate in the data. We can back it out from the patent data set, R&D intensity, and in order to identify the elasticity of innovation to the accessible knowledge peak epsilon, which I was showing you, we will look at the differential innovation intensities of industries with different technological types. So let's say innovation of most external dependent industries divided in least and so on and so forth. So in terms of parameters, what we get is that more external dependent industries are also intrinsically more innovative and more efficient, besides the fact that they also rely on external knowledge differently. And we see that elasticity of the of horizontal innovation to external knowledge is higher than of vertical, which kind of makes sense as well. And the final thing, and then we will move to more exciting thing. So how to feed in this epsilon series, and epsilon is basically knowledge diffusion, which comes from ICT. So what I will look at in the data is a particular point in time, every period T from 76 to 2003, for a particular technology class J, we will have the number of technology, share of technology classes cited by that particular technology class regressed on ICT of that particular technology class, but also I will allow for spillovers, because not only you have to invest in ICT, but also other industries in the neighborhood. Yes, this is a good point, yes. Good. Yes, we will need it, yeah. Yes. Every sorry? Yes, yes. Yes, it is a surprise, yeah. So after we estimate this, I'm just interested in this knowledge diffusion as a function of only ICT. So this is the basically series which we will feed in, and it is not very surprising. So it the shape, it takes off in late 80s, 90s, and it stabilizes around 2000s after the collapse of the IT boom, basically. All right, so what are the implications in terms of, first, this differential innovation intensities, innovation patterns we observe over time? So these dashed lines are innovation intensities of industries which are most external dependent, and those are least external dependent in the data. The solid lines will be same, but in the model. So as you see, what happens is that in the beginning, there is not much of a gap, but over time, it increases a lot, both in the data and the model. And if we compare the change of this gap before, in the latest sample period and before, it increased approximately by 2.35 times, and in the model, it increased by 1.75. So this 74% will come exactly just only through the combination of different technological characteristic of industry, plus ICT being more biased through this knowledge spillovers towards those industries. There is also this competition effect here, but we see that it is relatively smaller, so on net, even those industries are gaining. So if we look at the gap, basically look relative GDP of most and least external dependent industries, we see that around, so these years are clearly off, but this means 1976-2003. So in the beginning, there is not much of a gap, but then it increases around the period of late 80s. So what we observe in the data that, again, it's kind of can explain almost all of this kind of reallocation we observe in the data. And finally, in terms of the labor productivity growth, so if we look, for example, we know also from the presentation yesterday, there has been a decline of the growth, TFP growth, here it's labor productivity growth, from the end of the war, like after this boom consistently through the 70s. So if we compare the growth before 90 versus after 90 in the data, BA data, it increased by 45%. In the model, we will observe that it increased by 34%. So basically, almost three quarters of this change has been captured by this model. However, it is important to understand, as Philip already mentioned, what exactly drives it and what is the composition. So that's why I will have the following counterfactual here. So, okay, so this green line, well, it is a flat, not interesting line. Basically, what would happen in the model if there was no any change, no ICT revolution and nothing? It would tell me that because I calibrated to the steady state, that nothing would change in terms of the growth rate. However, if we add on top just the direct impact through faster computers, let's say, right? This direct impact has a bite in my model in the beginning because here there is an investment and the increase in terms of the quantity you have, in terms of the quantity you invest. Here in during the IT boom also there is my big investment and growth in terms of investment of ICT. However, if you look at this channel, it is not long run, it is not sustainable unless there is no continuous improvement of quality goods in the ICT sector. So if ICT technologies, the quality improvements they are stalled, it would not generate much in terms of the...
That's obvious a priori, because an intuition would have been that, you know, ICT revolution and the digital revolution makes us, you know, we can durably Skype, Dropbox, whatever, I'm very bad at it. But no, this is that would be durable. I mean, you could have thought that...
This is just direct.
Okay.
This is direct. So what I will have is also the indirect. So here is our Skype, Facebook, and like everything. Okay, so...
That's Gordon's name in the coffee.
Exactly. So if we were just focusing on this, it would be hard to rationalize the long-run growth effect from ICT. However, it is important also to focus on these externalities. And what this picture shows us is an importance of knowledge externalities and importance of the third industrial revolution in terms of the driving these externalities and these externalities driving growth. And given that we live in the economy of a knowledge economy, it is super important to take into account this consideration. And we see that this indirect effect is sustainable in the long run because it directly affects these spillovers. So this is my take on the debate that we just mentioned. There is another debate, there are many debates around this IT revolution, but there is a famous quip by Solow that you can see the computer age everywhere, but in the productivity statistics, many people have thought about different measurement issues and things. So here we also see that there is on net the positive effect. There is a positive effect from ICT, both in terms of direct and indirect effect. However, there is also negative effect, which we should focus on, and this business stealing effect, and this creative destruction effect, which disincentivizes investments as well. So we can look at the following counterfactual in the end of the period. So if there was no growth in ICT, as we see, so we would be with this productivity level, growth level. So then the total impact of ICT, direct plus indirect, is equal to 2.02. However, if we look in the model and shut down the competition margin affecting negatively the incentives of the firms, however, we still allow for it to positively affect through entry, we'll see that ICT without competitive spillovers would produce even more, by 45% more than in the total. So there is this still negative competition effect that...
In your model, competition cannot be negative, cannot have a positive effect.
It has a positive effect through entry, but it does not have, escape competition. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So I think, yes, with some grain of salt, maybe you should take it, because you can enrich the model to talk about competition policies and competition effect even more. And yes, so let me, on this note, conclude. So here we studied the role of ICT as a tool for knowledge diffusion in the economy, and I believe it is important channel which has not been studied much. And other thoughts, we already touched on it, that it naturally can produce this endogenous IT revolution in this context. And also there is another thought that you could think about this intuition and take it to the comparison of US EU, because there is a low, we know that there has been a convergence in growth rates between US and EU over the 20th century, but then in 90s there has been a divergence again. So there are many people who think that it's because of ICT, lower investment of ICT in EU relative to the US. What this paper tells us is not only that, maybe, but also the composition of industries in different countries may matter. So, for example, if US is more high-tech and more external dependent economy, then they would benefit a lot from these externalities, knowledge externalities. However, it would not be the case maybe in a country which relies a lot on textile industry and others. Okay, so I think I'm on time.
Thank you.